from Luke 21, beginning with verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. They will all be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. They will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your mind not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you your words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. This has indeed been a week of tragedy, of illness, of death, of wise. For many of us who've seen family members endure serious health challenges, and others of us who, those that we love and care for, so to see them at the loss of their spouse, it's indeed been a week of devastation. A loss of young lives unexpectedly taken from us. Loss of husbands. Pain of wives. Our hearts break for those God has entrusted us to. And we too approach these holy words of Scripture searching for answers. And I visited with my cousin Robin Morton yesterday, and she shared with me at the loss of her husband going for a simple back procedure. It just hurts so badly, Jody. And she shared with me, a deep woman of faith, she said, "Continue to pray because I just don't have the spiritual comfort right now." Can't imagine. As we seek to love and pray for those who hurt with us, and then in many ways God instructs us and guides us through this scripture, that it is our prayers. It is our hearts opening up for those who can't open themselves to what God may say to them. I heard someone say once, as they ministered to another in tragedy, that "I am committing to pray for you until you can once again pray for yourself." You see, in this passage of Scripture, where Jesus talks about the complexities of life, of devastation, whether it be plagues or famines or earthquakes or desolation, beyond what the people of faith could make sense of and were plagued with why. Jesus says, endure. Hold fast. Trust in God. He would say later on in this chapter, in verse 36, that our endurance is rooted in our prayers. You see, that's why it's important for us as a community of faith, when there are the friends, the family members whose faith is quite honestly fragile at the times of loss, that we pray in them and for them. There is a beautiful holiness when we sacrificially, when we give of ourselves in prayer for another. It certainly is evident in the words of the Lord's Prayer, where none of those petitions ever speak of me, I, or my, but the we of the faith. Forgive us, as you'll celebrate in your youth council. Give us this day. May we be a people who in the darkness and challenges of life be the light of Christ as we pray for one another, that they too can endure during this season of darkness. The church needs it. The people of faith searching and hurting need it. So may we daily lift up and sustain our brothers and sisters in their journey through the faith that delivered us. Yes, eternally, but sustains us through every trial that we face. You know, I find it hopeful in this text today, where Jesus begins talking about this destruction of the temple and all of the peril that the people of faith will face. He said, you'll be persecuted, you'll be arrested, you'll be taken into trial. And he says in the midst of that, in verse 11 of this passage, he says that this is not the end. These things must take place. You know, I get confused at times pondering the must of our Lord there. What does he mean that these things must happen before the end comes? Does it mean in some ways by going through the trials of this broken world that we will celebrate and know the joys of heaven that much more? Does it mean that because we live in a broken world that adversity and peril cannot be avoided? Christ doesn't explain explicitly in this text why the must of darkness is evident and will engulf us all. But the promise he does give, dear friends, is that his love and life, that of Christ, is eternal. And it embraces us all who put our trust in the Lord of life, who will help us to endure no matter what we face in this brokenness. You know, I remember a story I've shared with some of you before about two young men who had an interesting raising as children. They'd lost their mother at a very young age, and then their father was in and out of their life. He would be there for a season and then be away, and ultimately the father would be in prison, and the boys would spend the rest of their childhood in foster care. One of the young men, these were twin boys, ended up in a life very similar to his father's, ultimately incarcerated. And the other son went on to medical school and became a surgeon. When asked, both of these twins, how did you turn out the way you did? They each gave the same answer. With a father like mine, how could I be anything else? our scripture today says to us these words of our Lord in verse 13 and 14. Here is the promise of when we're faced with adversity, when we're faced with challenges and brokenness and the questions of why me, why my family right now, oh God, that our Lord says when those events occur, then we, dear people of faith, will be given an opportunity to testify. To testify to what God is doing in the midst of our brokenness. To not become defensive in the words of our text. I don't know about you all, but I often become defensive. I want to become defensive and I want to plead with God. Why did I not get my miracle? Why was our family engulfed with this tragedy? But our Lord encourages us on this day that we find life when we testify, not to the perils we face, but to the deliverance that our God uses to sustain us and help us endure no matter what we face. You see, the Son who made the choice, not to dwell in the whys of His parental leadership of His Father, but He testified to what He could become through God's grace, I would think, and God's leading love. Our scripture, yes, says to not become defensive, but to testify of what God is already doing. In verse 18 and 19, this promise is extended to us by Jesus, that although we must go through brokenness in life, not a hair of our head will perish. And if we will endure, we will gain our souls. You see, I think the promise from our Lord is that God's grace, God's love, God's life is eternal glory. That our Savior will return in the words of life and faith to conquer whatever we face, to swallow up death and dying forever, to conquer tears and grief, to where all we know as His children is life, love, and joy forever. You know, this morning I went out to my automobile and was getting ready to drive over, and I looked and my car was just covered in this heavy frost. All over the windshields and side mirror and the back glass. And it was sitting there in a portion right in front of our house in the shade. And then one of our other cars was parked behind mine. And there wasn't a spot of frost on it. It had moved from the shade into the sunlight. And the frost had been conquered and overcome. Friends, so often in life, the darkness engulfs us. It surrounds us like a heavy frost. And we can't see a way forward to move together on this journey of life. But when the light comes, the light and love of our Lord, the darkness indeed is conquered, yes, eternally. But I believe in the words of this text today that we are strengthened to endure the darkness even now. May we trust in the light, the love and comfort of our Lord, And when those that God has entrusted us to, most of all, to be the light in them, may we pray in them God's love when they can't pray themselves. Let's pray now. God, we lift up to you those who are hurting in our families and communities. And we pray for them that your comfort and peace and truth will sustain them. God, we're grateful that in you there is life. And the promise of your scripture that you are our Redeemer. As our youth council theme of being forgiven through your grace. And as we bow this day, O God, may you make yourself known to any who've never claimed that life in you. That all we do, O God, to embrace your love eternal is simply trust in what you've done. We realize that we are imperfect. But through your Holy Spirit, we've come to know that we have a perfect Savior and Deliverer. Will you be present now and make everyone aware that your love gives us heaven and your love sustains us in the darkness of our life until you come in glory. Will you receive our prayers for our brothers and sisters and mold us all more in your image as we seek to serve this world with your light and love. In Christ we pray. Amen.